Well, the book of Revelation. Hallelujah. We haven't been going through this very fast, but there's a lot of things that really differently than I've ever taught before in it. And one of the things that I really have felt led to do, because in the book, generally, if you just sit down and read the book of Revelation, there's lots of things you're, as you pass through. I think it's why maybe sometimes people read through it, don't understand certain things, because there's many things that you have to study the book, and actually the book itself, because there's many things said in the book in the beginning that have to do with things later on, and later on they'll talk about those things and their references, and you need to remember those things that were said, because they all fall in line with what's going on. And so we've been spending time doing it. Also, with looking at what other scripture says about it, is the idea that the book of Revelation is not something that was all new and, you know, people didn't understand about it and that kind of stuff. It's one of the reasons that today in the church world has so much trouble with it, is because of such little knowledge of the Bible. Many ministers have very little knowledge of the Bible. I remember with Kenneth Hagin talking about, he had a guy who was at Rhema, was a student, was in a college, and he went through college. Then he went to seminary, and he went through seminary. After seminary, he went to Rhema Bible Training Center. So he went there to Rhema, and he told them, he said, in 6 months at Rhema, he said, I learned more about the Bible than, he said, all my time in the seminary. He said, they never taught the Bible much in the seminary. They teach their traditions, their ideas, their philosophies. They teach all kinds of things, but they don't teach the Bible. And that was one of the things when Brother Hagin started the Rhema Bible Training Center, was the purpose of teaching the Bible. That's one thing as they did when I was there. You learned the Bible. So for some people, I mean, came through churches and were in churches all their life. I was amazed how many people, like students, would come to Rhema. And they would, you know, in church all their life, but really didn't know the Bible. They didn't know. They heard their little sermons and stuff, and other people talk about the Bible, but nobody ever really studied. Nobody ever took the time. And you really need to do that. We have today, as most people can tell you, some highlights on the subject of the Bible, but they don't know the subject. They've never any in-depth teaching. You know, they'll hear one sermon on a Sunday on a subject. And Kenneth Hagin said this. He said, you cannot even teach, he said, the subject of faith with any less than 35, he said, lessons on it. He said, you can't even cover it well. Most people, they've ever only heard one or two sermons and their entire Christian walk on the areas of faith, and they hear that one, the same ones over and over, know very little about the subject. They think they've heard it. No, they've heard one or two sermons 40 times. But they haven't really had it done in detail. It's one of the things when the Lord really dealt with me was the fact of the teaching on a subject is going through a cover subject. So people know the Bible. You go through scriptures, you find out where things are. That's a hugely important thing. You folks probably, I'm serious. There's loads of ministers have never heard as extensive teaching as you guys have heard. The average minister, I should say some, the average minister has not heard it. Hasn't heard it. They don't know. They haven't gone there, really looked through subjects or ever studied subjects. So I really think it's important. Number one, I love studying the Bible. You know, I've had all these notes and that stuff that I have here, but I still spent from yesterday to today probably about 7 to 8 hours of studying just coming up with tonight. Just looking through stuff that, you know, that I was looking in concerning Revelation and just spending, I really love to do it. I mean, I get over and get lost. I get over, yesterday morning I got up and before I knew it was noontime, I got studying. I still in my pajamas. I got studying in the morning and I just couldn't get away from it. I thought, you know how to do something other than I have this. When it's going, man, I just stay with it. I mean, when stuff's flowing and run, I just stay with it. And, so it's just really good. It's tonight we're going back into Chapter 13, so we're not jumping through this thing fast. Last week, we were in 13. We were talking about the dragon and also with the beast. And I'm just going to read over what we had read last week about the beast and the dragon, which Revelation 13. I'm going to just start reading so in verse 4, where we had the areas that we had ended. It said, so they worshiped the dragon, who gave authority to the beast. And the beast was the Antichrist. The dragon is Satan. And said, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who's able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth speaking great things, blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. Verses 7 says, and it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given to him in every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So, we see here, this one. I have there on verse 7 from the 20th century New Testament says, it had been permitted to him to fight with Christ's people and to conquer them, and it had received power over men, every tribe, every people, and language, and nation. So, here we really have God speaking through foreknowledge of what was happening. God knows who from the beginning, who would accept him and who wouldn't. God hasn't made the decision of who accept. Everybody has opportunity. He can't help it. God knows everything from beginning to end. God knows what we'll do and what we won't do. He knows. So, let me just say this. You're not going to surprise him. You might surprise other people, but you will never surprise God. It's one of the things as we talk about the difference between the God of Christianity and the God of other people's gods and other gods of other nations. Their gods, if you read about their things and their gods are more from the human standpoint. They have their limitation in their thoughts and things and stuff going on. The difference between the Christian God is the Christian God, number one, he always was, he always existed. And there's nothing that he doesn't know. He never has another new thought. God will never have a new thought. If he doesn't, the Bible's a lie. Then he doesn't know everything. He doesn't. He can't ever have a new thought. He knows it all. Don't worry. You don't have to ever have that problem. You don't know it all, and you never will. So, now we have people who think they know it all. But it doesn't exist. Number one, people think, well, this God, he's like this big head out there. Number one, that's our security. Faith is built on his word and he knows everything. Mm-hmm. That's the security of our faith. It's like you can't have faith in these other gods. It's like when I'll never forget when I was in Vietnam, I went to this Buddhist monastery. Cause, there was guys and that stuff who were into Buddhism and all that stuff. And I thought, see what this stuff is about, what this Buddhism thing is. Mm-hmm. And Buddha, he was their prophet. And, they don't really talk a whole lot about God, but they believe in a God and he was their prophet. But when I went to their monastery, I found this out about Buddhism. Buddhism really doesn't have a centered belief. When I went in, I sound like they had this library, and I mean, they had all kind of books. They had the Bible there. They had all these different philosophy books, all this. They even had Mark Twain books. There's things that they, his wisdom about things and that stuff and all that kind of stuff they had. And when I found out, all they're doing is they're just picking and choosing. In other words, they talk about their Buddha as their prophet, but they're their own God. They choose their beliefs. God don't. They choose. Well, see, if people do that today, we have a Christianity. People say, it's just like there's people say, I'm a Christian, but I believe, God's all right with homosexuality and that stuff. Well, I'm sorry. That's not Christianity. It can't be. Because the Word of God, which is God, His Word, you can't have faith in Him and believe He's wrong. See, they don't believe the Bible. And many people think they can pick and choose. There's parts of the Bible, to me, sometimes are hard to swallow. But it's the Bible. It's true. I better get to like it. I don't have a right to pick and choose. Because to pick and choose, I have to say, then Jesus isn't the Word of God. He's not who he says he was. And so I've settled myself with this for a long time ago. The Bible's right and true. And to have faith in it, you can't pick and choose it. It's either true or what. This is it. Say, well, I don't like this part. Well, too bad. It is what it is. Hallelujah. It's the truth. I found out the truth does make you free. And it's one of the things is people have a hard time because they're not free because they don't believe the truth. They have their own truth. I have my truth. I love to hear people say, I have my truth. Well, you just said you're God. You picked your truth. It's just like, there's people say, well, they believe everybody's going to get to heaven. Well, if that's so, then man picks going to heaven and God don't. So God has nothing to do with us. So they're their own God. They predict their own destiny and decide where they're going to go, and God's going to have to accept me because I said. Well, I wouldn't want to have that one today comes in and draw my last breath. Because you're going to be surprised when you open your eyes in hell and find out, man, that one didn't work. So, it's not going to be a very good thing. But I'll tell you what, just stick with God. The truth will make you free. Amen. Hallelujah. God knows everything. In Revelation, the 13, the 9th verse says, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And what is this? What's this statement made about? It's talking about this Antichrist. He's going to overcome God's people or the saints in the earth at that time. In other words, the people who believe on Jesus at that time, it's going to be either, you know, and we're going to, we could find out, many of them, probably a good majority of people who are openly received Christ are going to be put to death. What he's saying here, this is the faith and the patience of the saints, is the fact the one who leads into captivity is going into captivity. Who kills with the sword is going to be killed with the sword. In other words, with God's people, the ones who lead people into spiritual captivity will be bound themselves. And the ones who kill the saints with the sword will be killed with the sword themselves. And this is what's going to happen, you know, with all of them, with God's wrath and stuff poured out. And he said, this is the, in other words, the saints. If we would go back and look where, you know, it said earlier, we had read about at the altar, in heaven were the ones who had been martyred, were under the altar. And they said, how long, O Lord? And he said, they had to wait till the other ones were going to die. In other words, till this was done. In other words, there's a period of time. The people need to understand this. God is going to avenge his people. He is. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. God will carry out vengeance upon people who do things to his people. It's not a smart thing to do. You know, you might have it in this life or the life to come. But God will avenge his people. And it's one of those things we don't have to worry about avenging ourselves. God will take care of it. This is what's about. This is the announcement then that they're not supposed to worry about that kind of what's going on. In verse 11, it went on to say, then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the beast whose deadly wound was healed. Now, here it brings up about this deadly wound that was healed. In fact, if you look at this, it's what the term they're used. It says in verse 11, it said, then I saw another beast. Now, that word saw is a Greek word allos, which is its idea is this. Is meaning of one of the same kind, or it could mean one of another kind. What we do is you have to go by what is said in its context of whichever way it's meaning it. Here in this, like with Jesus said, when I leave, I'm going to send another comforter. It didn't mean somebody or a different kind. It meant it was one like him. He went on to explain to what the Holy Spirit was going to be like. In other words, he's going to take what belongs to me and show it to you. And so, in other words, he's going to be like Jesus. In other words, he's one of the same kind. Here, the fault is going to be, which is called, going to be later, he's called the false, he's going to be the false prophet. The false prophet is the one here who's explaining that he's going to come. This one is going to get ones to worship the beast, or the we would call the Antichrist. He's going to get them to worship him. So, he's going to be one of the same kind. He's going to be one just like him. That's what he's going to be. So this false prophet is going to come along. He's going to exercise authority over the first beast in the presence, cause the earth and those who dwell in to worship. It says the one whose deadly wound was healed. Actually, that word healed is not used there. It's not the word for healed. It's the word zoe. It means to live. I don't know how they put the word healed there and translated it healed. It's not healed at all. It's the word zoe. It lived. In other words, he was whatever this wound was or whatever happened, his deadly wound was healed. Actually, the word wound there really isn't used. It's the word, the deadly stroke, as if he was, by sometime we had before, was talking about he was with a sword. It was a sword. And then it's here, it says this. Now, I don't know if it's definitely going to be a sword. They use the terminology that they have the time. You know, they wouldn't have said somebody was shot or somebody was at. They didn't know nothing about that. So what they saw, everything's interpreted by what they know, just like you do. You interpret by what you know. You can't interpret what you don't know. That's why sometimes I found this out. There's some things I've seen things in the spirit. I don't know how to explain it because I don't know what words you would explain it with. So people explain things and say things sometimes, and we get an idea. It's like Kenneth Hagin. I remember him using the things he talked about. This one, he had to deal with a spirit one time, and he said the spirit was, he said, sort of looked like a baboon. Now, he said it wasn't a baboon. He said, but I don't know what else to explain that it might look like. So he said it was sort of like that. So, you know, a lot of people get in their mind, oh, it's like, well, your devils are like baboons, you know. But, you know, because it's not like anything we have in ours. It's not, you know, anything like it. So we can only explain it from the things that we understand, and that's what you're having here. We're just having, in other words, this thing about this one that comes to power is the Antichrist. This thing about whatever it is that happened to him and he lives must be a pretty miraculous thing that people keep wanting to, that people will just up and follow this guy over this thing or whatever it is that happened. You know, whether this is people had ideas, say, you know, maybe somebody tried to assassinate him. I don't know. He might have been involved in a war because we talk about that. Who can war against him? Who can fight this guy? Whatever happened or took place, we don't know. But whatever took place, this guy, some kind of miraculous thing that he lived. And so it must have been on such a miraculous terms that people, you know, think about it in a supernatural way. And but I'm not going to say what it is because I don't know what it is. And anybody who says it's all conjecture. So it, you know, they don't. I just think it's good to leave it alone. Something we know, something big happened. And so we want to leave it. We're going to leave it at that. Now, in verse 13 of chapter 13, it says, what he does, he performs great signs so that even fire makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. He declares, he deceived those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make image an image in the beast of the beast who was wounded, here again, by the sword. Now here's the same word, sword was translated wound. Yes, there, I don't know. And what? And lived. Same word, Zoe. It was used before in the other place. Anyhow, he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Okay, so this is the false prophet. He deceives the people. He's the one who does this. Now, I want to say this because of looking this. In 2 Thessalonians, we have read this before, in 2 Thessalonians 2:9 says this. It says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Now, I've heard people say this. I have heard numbers of people. I've seen it in books. I have heard it, men say it, which is totally incorrect. It isn't scripturally accurate. Number one, these signs are not real signs. They're fake. It does not say that. And the whole idea, it says they're real signs. The demonic powers can do things. I was involved in sorcery. And I'll tell you what, there are people who can do things that are supernatural. I've been around, I have seen supernatural manifestations of demonic powers. You need to understand, this one's going to come along. When it's called lying wonders, this is what it's talking about, is this. It deceives people. He deceives people into what they're going to believe. He's going to try to deceive people that this guy, this Antichrist, is God. The signs that he does are to lead people to believe that this one's God. There's churches. I mean, they had this thing going on for a while, this sort of, they called it gold flake. Ministers and stuff would operate. They started out, came from a woman out of down in South America, came out of Brazil, and operating under demonic powers, and they fell for it, and her doing it and that stuff. It's like I talked about the woman who came out of South America, the woman that had oil would pour out of her hands and bloods and things. That was real stuff happening. I mean, she said blood would pour out of her hands. She would fill, She would sit, now they used to say, oh, she had tubes up in her sleeve, and then she, well man, she must have had about 40, 50 gallon of oil, because she would fill towels with oil, would run out of her hand. Demonic power, her operation. Now Christians fell for it because, you know, people did, oh, this is supernatural. There's one thing, it's not long ago, just a few years back, they had this thing with this Bible. This was going on down in Georgia and Alabama and those areas. It was big down in the South area at the time. This Bible that would ooze oil. I mean, they had this Bible was literally they had it in a fish tank. And this thing, you know, probably had about, you know, 15, 20 gallons of oil. This thing is supposed to come out. But you know, people fell for it. Now, I want to say, Christians, and I mean, I'm talking about spirit-filled Christians. I'm not talking about all these poor dummies over here that, you know, they're in a Methodist church. No, there was the poor dummies that were supposed to be filled with the Holy Ghost. They were running up. They said, they were getting this oil. They said, this is special oil that God gave to heal people with. It's something for this time. You know, it's like, I thought faith was enough. I mean, why would I, is there anything better than faith? No, now the oil's gone. See, when anything, every time a natural thing, they try to tell you, takes a place of a spiritual thing, it's a lie always. Always. I got one time from this minister who got himself a big name. He was into, you know, music, into worship and stuff like that. They had him at big, you know, he'd go to these big meetings and stuff and things. And I get in the mail one day a thing from him. This thing, a little, you know, pamphlet thing, and in it was it's about buying this certain kind of, some kind of fruit or something that was growing out in the Asian area someplace, you know. And they got this thing and this fruit. And anyhow, I listened to him on this tape, and he's talking about this stuff. And what he wants you to do is buy this stuff. Now this guy, you know, he's selling, he's snake oil. There's a lot of snake oil Christians and ministers. Although, you know, you got to buy this trinket. I mean, we have crosses, and they have a piece of the stone from, you know, at the tomb. Oh, this is special made for you. It's going to make you really spiritual. Oh, you wear it around your neck, and who knows? Anyhow, I get this thing. And he goes on in there, oh, yeah, this stuff's so wonderful. It heals. He said, and then he uses this, he says, there's this nurse, he said, saying how wonderful it is, and she was from Indonesia, and how she couldn't get a job there because the people use this, and everybody's healed, they don't have, nobody in Indonesia is sick. This guy's saying this stuff. So what I did is I went on and I looked, because you can find them any country in the world, you know, that things are published and put out about their health systems and all that stuff. Man, they have a terrible health system, and people are sick like crazy in Indonesia. I thought, this guy lies. Here is a minister. He's selling this stuff. We're making money. See, we're selling this stuff. You know, hey, I'll sell you some oil. This comes from a fish tank. There was a Bible in it. I'll sell it to you. Is it ever wonderful? Huh. When I was at Rhema, I talked to a guy, because a Rhema student, he was in Rhema, Rhema student. He was working for a company. And what this company was, they would say, like, your company does mailings for companies, you know? Well, that's what they did for ministries. They did mailings. And he said, they're sending out these letters. We publish these letters. They're sending out this special oil that was prayed over and all that stuff. He said, none of it was prayed over. He said, it's been shipped in from overseas, China, he said. And he says, it's in these little packets. And he said, they arrive at our place. He said, they come from China straight to us. And we put the packets in, the letters in there. And they put in there, you know, where this special oil has been prayed. I don't care if you pray over oil. The Bible never said you pray over oil. It says you pray over the sick. You can anoint them with oil, but they don't say a prayer. But people love something natural, and they'll fall for it all the time. Another thing he said, he told that they were told that their company tells the ministries to do. Always have an emergency with needing money. Always have an emergency. Isn't it always have an emergency? I'll tell you what, they send you letters all the time. I just love to, you know, just delete all their emails and send them to junk. I'm just tired of the junk. Always got, you know, we have this special thing that we're doing. We're so special and we're just doing it and nobody else can do what we're doing. I'm not even God. That's why he hired us, because he couldn't do it. So, but we need to understand this. Signs and wonders can be done by demonic powers. Satan is going to be in the earth deceiving people. One of the things that we have here that's going to happen is this. It told him that he got the people to make an image of the beast. He didn't make the image. The people did. And he says he's going to make it come alive. Now, I've heard ministers and I've even read things. He's going to make this animatronic thing. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say he builds it. But see, people get in their minds and they get into their thinking. They will be the people who are going to be easily deceived. Easily deceived. Why? Because they're not believing the Bible. They have their own beliefs, their own ideas, their own things. You know, that you can't walk in faith by your belief if it isn't in line with the Word. You know, is one of the things. He's going to do things. He's going to call fire down from heaven. I mean, the Bible says it. I mean, it's going to be fake. Well, how do you prove? I guess maybe Elijah was a fake, I guess. I don't know. I mean, the king must have thought it. He'd sent out three different captains with their men. You know, two of them got burnt up, but the third one was smart enough to say, hey, no, come on, don't do it. But his whole thing of is, these are miracles and things that are going to be done to deceive. That's the whole point, is to deceive people to believe that this guy's God. This is why, is one of the greatest things is this, is even in today, you need to know the Word, because there's stuff out there going on. I have seen, I could sit and name to you names of major ministers who all of you know and have heard, because they have big names, have been around for years, have fallen for stuff like with the woman with the oil pouring on her hand. I mean, they just lined up in belief for them. They just fell for it. I mean, they were going after it. Randall Greer got into big trouble because the Lord told him concerning this woman and this gold flake. I mean, they had people. I mean, they even had ministers and that stuff. They'd be in meetings, and this one guy would have these gold flake stuff would show up on his face. And, boy, I mean, people, they thought this was so neat. Well, Randy Greer didn't know nothing about this stuff going on. And the Lord spoke to him about this thing's going on, this gold flake, and God told him to speak about this thing said, this is demonic and people are following. And so he went to a meeting, and it was a Rhema ministerial meeting. And he gets up and talking about it. He said, when our meeting was over, he said all the ministers got up and left like a rocket to get out of the place. And the guy who was heading up the meeting, who was one of Rhema's, regional directors, said to him, oh, man, he said, you stirred up trouble. He said, all these guys here, he said, last night we're talking how wonderful this is. You got to get these people in your church. Well, Randy Greer had said at that meeting, he said, because there was two U.S. ministers, a man and a woman, who brought this woman into America, who started this thing with Gold Flake and all this stuff, brought her in. And he said this, that both of them are going to die. They're going to die. That God tried to get them to turn around, but they just keep going the direction. Within a week, the woman died. Within 6 months, the guy died. Well, you know, there's one thing I'd say about is Randy Greer's accurate. This there was another minister. There was this guy that came back who got hooked up with the Pope we have now. The Pope, when he got put into power here, this Pope. This guy got in and started preaching that everybody, he's a spirit-filled guy, and he had a lot of influence around with other spirit-filled leaders, and he got around to the things and telling everybody how this Pope is spirit-filled and how he's this and that. Yeah, I wonder what spirit it is. He's opened up now, the transgenders are all right, and they can be baptized and have, you know, get children and adopt children. I'm just telling you this. Next, he is going to open up to the homosexuality, the Catholic Church, to homosexuals. Last year was already decided, think he went getting into it. He had a dinner with a bunch of them. They're going to be moving that direction. When he became, I didn't even know. You know, when the other pope retired, he retired, which was usually they never do that. Popes don't retire. You know, they either drop dead in office and somebody else takes over. That's basically what they do. And he got retired. When he took over, I wasn't even thinking about it or nothing at all on that. The Lord spoke to me one day and said, he said, this new pope, he said he's going to be influential in opening the door to the Antichrist to come to power. And I can see it. See, what we don't realize is, and as we get into it, we're going to study this about the harlot. The harlot is false religion. We don't have it, we don't see it as blatant here in America, but it's going on right now worldwide. They're drawing together, really, in a sense, they want to have a one world church. The Catholics and the Protestant stuff in Europe are all getting together, and they're trying to get the Muslims into it. Everybody accepts everybody's religion. You're all right. This is big worldwide is going on. It's happening. And that's what the Antichrist is going to ride in on, is the harlot. Till the day that he announces himself as God, and they're going to be shocked. And it says he's going to kill the harlot. He's going to destroy that religion because they can't. See, they have all the trappings and they say Jesus and they say all this stuff. I don't care what a man says. I don't even want to know what he does. I'm not interested. Somebody says they're a Christian, prove it. I ain't interested in it. I don't care what you say, and I want to just tell you, Jesus ain't interested either. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my word. That's what Jesus said. So we'll know who loves Jesus and who don't. If they don't keep his word, they don't love Jesus, and they can say the name all they want. Because Jesus said, they'll say, Lord, Lord. They should be saying Lordy, Lordy. Ain't going to turn out pretty. Say Lord, Lord. And he said not everybody that says that's going to enter the kingdom of heaven. We're coming down on a time. I'm just telling you this. There is only going to be two groups left, the ones who believe and who don't. That's it. It is not going to be a middle of the road. And believers are going to be doers. They're not going to be people walking around saying, yeah, I believe in Jesus and living some other life. It ain't going to be.
That's right.
It's not going to be. The division is here. This is the days of dividing.
That's right.
We're trying to make today is bringing unity. God's trying to divide the group. Mm-hmm. In or out. That's what he's trying to do. God knows who's his. And he wants you to know who's his. And so all of these things are going on today. So all this stuff is happening. And the crazy things that are going on. But you know, with Randall Greer, this guy that's belonged to the Catholics, he started going around the Protestants and that's some of the big names. And back here a couple years ago, there's a couple of them, big name, Pentecostal ministries joined up. Oh, yeah, the Catholic faith. They believe in salvation by faith. And, you know, this is a... I don't care if a man says he believes in salvation by faith. They teach purgatory. With that, you can't teach purgatory and believe salvation by faith. I mean, that's their doctrines. I mean, they believe if I want something from God, I ask Mary. I mean, totally against the Bible. Now, this guy went around and did it. Randy Greer, I'll never forget this because he got in a whole bunch of trouble because he made mention about this guy. And they got upset because these big name ministers joined. Oh, they said some awful things about him. But he said this guy, if he didn't repent, he said God told him he's going to remove him. He told us at a meeting in March, and in July, the guy was killed in London, England. In July of that same year. He died. But, you know, out here, pumping things out, people saying anything. You know, you don't get to be popular as a prophet doing that. See, everybody wants to say, just tell me I'm okay. Mm-hmm. Well, not the thing that's happening. So, well, there will be this Antichrist. He's going to have the whole thing of the false prophet. The false prophet's going to go before him to carry out the ministry. In a sense, you could say, you know, from the standpoint, you know, we have our Father God. Jesus Christ is operating the earth, was really his prophet in the earth, demonstrating in what he did so people would believe God. And it is Satan hasn't got a new gig. It's the same thing. And people will come along and believe. Do you ever notice every religion has their prophet who is from God? Buddha has his. We go over to Muslims, they have theirs. All of them have their they all copy off of Christianity's things. They all copy off of it. And so when Satan comes along and deceives people, he's always, you know, you never get deceived by a blatant lie. You would know a blatant lie wasn't true. It will always have some truth to it. Who'd believe it? It was just a blatant lie. No, there's always truth to it. That's why you need to learn to know the whole truth. If you don't learn, to know the whole truth, you can be deceived. And you don't want that to happen. Well, it goes on, is this false prophet. What does he do? This is the one in Revelation 13 and 16 says, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or their forehead, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Now, there's all kind of things out here. I've looked at this thing and studied. People talk about, you know, because the Greek, and this was a lot of the ancient languages did this. In their languages, each letter represented a number. It's the whole thing of it is I sit and look at people in calculation of this number. And there's all kinds of things people come up with. There's all kinds of stuff. And I just figured this out. Most don't know. The Greek language didn't have just, we would think, it didn't have 10 letters, you know. So if each one represents a number, you know, when trying to figure all this out. Now, one of the things they said, they used to say the number, because he used to say that Nero was the Antichrist because the letters for Nero ended up into 666, they said. I don't know how they come out with that, because I've sat down and tried to figure out how they figured that one out and looked through their calculations on what they said. I don't understand it, how they came out with the 666 on his. It could be. One of the things is Nero wasn't the Antichrist. He was a tight-headed Antichrist spirit. But he was not the Antichrist, and he couldn't have been the Antichrist because we have not had the... Has Jesus come back? No. And see, people are always... What people try to do is take these things and fit them in. There's one thing that I just want to... I'm like this. When it all comes to the time that things happen, we'll know and understand, and people know what it is. And guessing and trying to figure all this thing out is a very wasteful thing. The number 6 is the number of man. We have, like, you know, the number 3 is the number for God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Under them, there's numbers of things they follow through in the Bible. But now people get into this number stuff, and they've really gotten weird concerning numbers in the Bible. You know, people always try to get into to figure out, they call it the number code. Oh, you're going to figure out the Bible if you get the number code. When anybody starts going to that, immediately you know it's a lie. Because if God hasn't called many wise, then the Bible must be able to be figured out without being a genius. So if you have to have some special code, you know this. It's demonic. Somebody is yielding to a demonic spirit, has come along and give them an idea, and they think, oh, they got a great wisdom about something. Ain't happening. So we have here... It's his number is 666, said, which is the number of a number of the man. So this false prophet, we know from this as a standpoint that man is going. He talks about having the mark, the system. He says this system was for buying and selling. So there's three different symbols that can be on a person's forehead or on their right hand. Now it says this because I got in to look at it. It says it was either the mark of the beast, it was the name of the beast, or it was the number of the beast's name. So, there was three different types. Now, I looked it up about this word mark, what it means. And really, it means a stamp or an imprint mark. It would be very much like, say, someone would brand a cow or something like that, or cattle or something, horses. It's a brand like that. That's what it's talking about. See, people today say, well, they're all going to give everybody chips and put a chip. Eh, I don't know, maybe they'll give everybody a chip. But I want to tell you, you need to understand what it's going to be like in these days with this Antichrist. He's going to kill everybody. He's his total tempest to kill everyone who will not worship him as God. He's going to try this. We know this. There's millions and millions going to be put to death because the Bible tells us this as we go on to find out that before the throne of God is a multitude without number who has come out of the great tribulation, who have been martyred. There's going to be deaths like crazy. The fact that this guy would make somebody wear something on his skin, I don't think he'd be happy with just a chip. This guy, you want to be marked. You want to have more than a chip. So everybody know, I'm following him. If you don't want to die, because other than that, it's a good chance you'll end up dead. That's the way it's going to be. And people get over into things and think sometimes with the Bible, you know, this stuff. Well, they try to think that things are going to run like with all of our technology, and people try to get this. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say it. If they do, they could go along with it. But it says they're going to have a mark on their hand or a mark on their forehead. They're going to have that. And the word mark there, the term used for it, well, if it didn't mean that, I wonder why they used that word. That's what it means. It's going to be marked. It's going to be branded. You know? Somebody's definitely going to have an imprint on them. I mean, hey, the tattoo folks will love it. Get another tattoo. Hey! This one's free. Well, you know. So, this is not. This is, we're talking about a horrible time. You can't. You don't. People. Number one, this is the worst time there ever has been on the face of the earth, or ever will be. The Scripture tells us. So, therefore, we cannot really imagine how bad this is going to get. This is one of the things that we need to tell people. When Jesus Christ is number one, we need to be ready to leave. And we better need to tell people. They better get ready to leave because they're here. It's not going to be a pretty, pretty thing. Not at all. We go on here in chapter 14 and it says, "Then I looked and behold a lamb standing on Mount Zion. And with him," now listen, here's what we're talking about. He says 144,000 having his father's name written on their foreheads. Remember that when we read about those ones, the 144,000? Okay. They're standing before the Father now. And he says, "And I hear a voice from heaven like the voice of many waters and like the voice of a loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. They sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth." Now I want you to see this. It talks about these ones are redeemed from the earth. So, understand this. They are no longer in the earth. They were sent out in the earth. They are no longer there. Now they're before the throne of God. Now, it said they were redeemed from the earth. These are the ones who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These ones are the ones who followed the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Now this is talking about the Mount Zion. It's talking about the Mount Zion in heaven. This is not the Mount Zion in Jerusalem. We have from Hebrews tells about from the standpoint of the believer. It's in Hebrews the 12th chapter verse 22 says, "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel." So we see this is where this is taking place in heaven. The 144,000 are there at this time. So it goes on, it went on here to say, and it said these ones were there. It says they were there. It says they, there was no deceit. They were before the Lamb of God, with the creatures, it said the elders, and no one could learn the song except the 144,000 redeemed from the earth. Now when it talks about these ones that were defiled, by not defiled by women doesn't mean it was wrong for people in the earth or believers in the earth. These ones are just, speaking of their dedication, they were called to something. They didn't get anything else in their way. They just followed after what the Lord wanted them to do at the time period that they were in the earth. And so these were completely dedicated to the Lord to carry out. These were the voice of the ones who were probably preached to all Israel, and in the earth, but specifically to the nation of Israel they would have preached. So, the name of the Father, it says, is written, was written on their foreheads. It was sitting there. And again, this word actually means to written. It's the Greek word, which means grapho. It says it's found numerous times in the New Testament. The Greek verb, it meant to write or compose records. So it meant that it was on their forehead. They're marked by God. These specifically, are marked by God. So the 144,000 are sealed by God on their foreheads. In Revelation chapter 7 is where we read, where we also see the multitude without number who stand before God's throne, who came out of the great tribulation and who washed their robes, made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So they are no longer in the earth. They're in heaven with Jesus. These ones are no longer in the earth. So, now some say, and this is one thing, some say that these ones were martyred, and some say they were taken out of the earth, you know, or raptured, you know, was a rapture. In other words, this is one of the things that that is used to people say about them being raptured out of the earth. Now, we don't have them here that they were put to death. We don't have them. We don't know that if they were or not. This is why I would really not, you know, from the standpoint of speculate. We just know at this time period, we know that there's so much, you know, slaughter going on. And that happening, but the 144,000 are in heaven. It says they were redeemed from the earth, which could very well mean that they were, the word here redeemed is the fact they could have been taken, because just like with the church being redeemed from the earth, in the same manner, they may very well have been taken. So, we'll definitely find that one out to, sure which way that goes, because there's a lot of speculation people, and people have written a lot of things and said a lot of things about these. I think many of these things here that, we, you know, there's no reason us to speculate and talk about it. Just know what they are. You know, whether I believe they were taken or not has no, there's no differentiation on, you know, me getting to heaven or anything else. I would rather, you know, find out what exactly is right than go tell the story. Because, you know, once you told it one way, after a while, you'd hear the right words. You wouldn't even believe it anymore. You'd say it. Like a man said one time to Kenneth Hagin, he had a certain story he told over the years. And they asked this guy if his story was true. And this is what the guy said. He said, I've said it this way for so long. He said, I don't know that it could have happened any other way than what I said. And so, but you can say something long enough to, after a while, you believe, you don't ever see it another way, and it may not have been true. So, we don't want to go to that place, do we? So, but they were redeemed from the earth. And using the term redeemed there, it's like purchasing. That idea, that word that was used in the Greek, in the regular Greek language, is like somebody going to the marketplace and purchasing something. So they were purchased out of the earth. So it just seemed like, you know, when you go to the market and you buy something, you purchase to take it home, don't you? You don't, you don't eat it at the store. You take it home. And so, to me, the standpoint, it seems if they were redeemed, they must have been taken out. But, hey, we'll find out for sure. Hallelujah. There's one thing is people are going to sure know something's going on in those days. So, you know, this is why, you know, we want to, so many people believe in these things. This is where one of the people get the idea. They identify the 144,000 as a representation of the church. I don't know how they do it. I mean, it's talked about. These are directly ones of Israel, the tribes of the Israel. We're not, the church is not a certain tribe. You know, see, people try to mingle everything together, and they do. And this is why I say, don't go to these places and don't pay no attention to this stuff. See, this is why they come out. This is when the rapture takes place. This is where people get this idea that they say mid-tribulation. Actually, this is not mid-tribulation. We are already well in to the last 3.5 years already going on here. And so it wouldn't be a mid-tribulation, because see, they say the 7 years. Well, the Great Tribulation is 3.5. It's not 7. I mean, the Bible's clear on the subject. The same people preach it. It's all going to be over a 7-year period, and it's not. So just go with the Bible to make you happy. Hallelujah. So sometime in that 3.5 year period, I would probably say this event here they're talking about is somewhere probably toward the middle to toward the end of that 3.5 year period, because what's going to all happen and take place after this, and we see what goes on with the last bowl judgments. They're going to be, the last bowl judgments take place, is the return of Jesus Christ comes immediately after that. And these judgments are not going to be over a long period of time. They're going to be very quick and so severe. It's going to be so horrendous on the earth. It's going to be so bad. When it says there wouldn't hardly be any life left, I'll tell you what, there'll hardly be any life left. It's going to be a horrendous time like nobody has ever seen on the earth. So in Revelation in 14 and verse 6 says, said, then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having everlasting gospel to preach to those dwelling on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth and sea and the springs of water. Now this thing here takes place at the time. Number one, we say an angel is going to preach. Today, angels do not preach the gospel. Angels preach the gospel to nobody today. Man preaches the gospel. This time period here, we're going to find something different. This must be right before about the time that the Antichrist comes in power and says he's God, because this is going to be really as basically the last call to people. As we go on, we'll find out the people who take the mark of the beast. Because once they take the mark of the beast, there is no returning. There is no repentance, because God will not draw any individuals who do that. They dedicate themselves to it. We'll look and prove it in Scripture. We'll see what the Scripture says about it. It's clear on it. So this thing, this angel preaches the gospel. He tells people to fear God, give him glory. He said the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth and the sea. Because why? This guy rises up and say he's God. So, what you're going to find out, he isn't God. Oh, with what happens and comes on the earth is going to be horrendous. So, in the church age, we have this, and we know just in the book of Acts, the 10th chapter, we have the guy Cornelius in Acts, the 10th chapter, who he was a Gentile who had converted to Judaism, but he's still a Gentile. The Jews, even though Gentiles would, some of them would convert to Judaism, still they would treat them the same way as any other Gentile. They wouldn't go to their home. You didn't go into a Gentile's house. You didn't do any of this kind of things. You didn't do that. Well, we have in Acts the 10th chapter, it says, verse 1, it says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion. He was a Roman soldier. He said was called the Italian regiment. He was a soldier, he was a captain in the army of Rome, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the 9th hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up before a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodging with Simon, a tanner whose house is by the sea, and he will tell you what you must do. So, and Peter, we find, if you find out, Peter who ended up going, Peter was told by God to go with these guys, and they went up to his house, preached the gospel to him. It was the first Gentiles got born again and filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues. They were the first ones who did at Cornelius' home. And so the angel said, to hear the gospel, you got to go down and get Peter to come back and tell you about it. So the angel didn't preach the gospel. This is why we see something different. We need to understand that during the time period of the tribulation, things are different than what they are in the church age. They're not the same. Really, most of the people are going to be saved by being put to death. Aren't you glad it's not like it in this side?
Yes, sir.
Well, you don't follow God, you'll get to see the other side. Don't want to go there. Not really into that one, it says. And so we'll go on here. I want to stop here on this. This goes to Revelation. We're going to 14 as we go on, because we're going to talk about the Babylon here, and we're going to talk about what Babylon is in the Scriptures and what it talks about, what it is. We'll do that next time, because starting into it, we want to be able to have the time to really go through some things in Scriptures about this. So can we make some clarity on it? And because a lot of people have the idea, I mean, they wrote books that there are series that they did. They were saying the city of Babylon Iraq is going to be rebuilt and all that stuff. Well, no, it's not. The Bible says concerning when the city of Babylon fell, God said it will never be inhabited again. So there's a good chance it'll never be built again. Also, there's going to be another city which deals with concerning Ezekiel. See, a lot of people look about Ezekiel talked about a war that was coming, and some people identified, see, that's Armageddon, and it's not. Because in that war, Damascus is going to be destroyed. Damascus is the oldest continued to live in city in the world. Continuously lived in. It's the oldest. And according to Scripture, it's going to be destroyed, and it says it'll never be inhabited again. So Syria is the one that sits on the doorstep of Israel there with Lebanon and Ammon, who are all the terrorists and that stuff use. God's going to deal with all of that. Some of that's going to get dealt with beforehand. I even believe before the church leaves. I believe we're on the door of that. I believe a lot of Christians, and I'm not being vulgar saying it, I think a lot of Christians are going to get the hell scared out of them when they see what's going to happen in the earth. They're not ready for it. They're not ready to see the Bible fulfilled. They have been preached to and preached to. You're going to go and nothing's ever going to happen. Everything's going to be cute. You're not going to face anything. Yeah, you will. We'll face stuff. You know, in the world there's tribulation. You know, all the time. I mean, if you take the Christians in Rome, you know, if God was in the business of always getting everybody out when everything was just really good and everybody was doing life, he didn't do too good by them, did he? You know, but people have been preached things for so long, they just don't realize what's coming. This is why people are having a hard time with things that are taking place in the earth right now. People are having a very difficult time with it. Let's close in prayer. Father, we just want to say thank you, Lord God, for revealing these things to us and showing us. Lord God, Lord, because you're the God who changes not. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I just want to thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. We don't have to fear or be afraid. We don't have to worry. Lord God, there's trouble in the world, but hallelujah, I want to thank you. You're bigger than the trouble in the world. Father, I just want to thank you and praise you. Hallelujah. Our destiny's secure. Heaven's our home. And Father, I thank you. Living or dying, we're going to go there. Hallelujah. So I thank you, Father God. Father, I pray and that Christians' hearts are open to hear the truth. Hallelujah. And to deal with the things that we're dealing with in this time. And Lord God, Lord, that we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to worry. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're following you, and you're well able, Lord God, to see us through whatever situations and things come along. And Father, we just want to give you the glory and praise. Lord God, things are being shaken up, Lord God, in the world, but also in the church. And Father, the things you said that in Romans, the 8th chapter, that the things that can be shaken will be shaken. And so I want to thank you, Lord God, there's a lot of things can be shaken and will be. But Father God, the result is to bring good into the earth, the revelation of your kingdom coming forth to bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.